Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Grand Slam, thank you, ma'am. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guy, Braille White. I'm also a reporter, producer for Decider.com. This week, I'm joined by three-peat guest of the pod, Katie Healy-Wersberg. Hello, Katie.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Third time's a charm.
Like, yeah. The other time's bullshit.
Horrible. I Love Lucy, garbage.
Garbage.
Friends, the worst.
Which Friends?
We watched Chandler in a Box.
Chandler in a Box. Like Thanksgiving ones, yeah, because it was like Thanksgiving. Seasonal. Holiday, that's the word I was looking for.
And this time we were getting to make use of a Christmas gift that I got.
Ooh, more seasonal.
The show we're doing is a thing you can't stream literally anywhere.
What a great thing in this age and day.
Yeah. This week we'll be traveling to May 4th, 1987. The Secret of My Success ruled the box office, which is a Michael J. Fox movie that made $110 million at the box office.
In the 80s?
In the 80s. And I had not heard of it until
I did
this. Is
it like a business?
The second S in success is a dollar sign.
So some kind of business.
Some kind of business. But it made
Isn't he still on that show?
87 Family Ties, I think, is still
I
on.
Thought.
This might be towards the end.
Because I remember
But Back
watching...
to the Future 2 is like 89.
Oh, okay. So
this is between the Back to the Futuresies.
So, like, I remember watching Family Ties as a kid, and I was born in 83, and I wouldn't have been 4 when it ended, because I remember
watching
it relatively, like, maybe, ended when I was like 6 or 7,
had
maybe?
A long run.
Yeah.
I just died in your arms tonight by Cutting Crew, top
great.
Of the charts.
So great. Love it.
And CBS aired the Designing Women episode, Grand Slam, Thank You, Ma'am. Katie, you must have seen Grand Slam, Thank You, Ma'am before today.
I don't recall in that particular episode. However, I love Designing Women.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it as a kid, like when it was airing. And then when they reran it on, it wasn't like a Nick at Night
no,
thing.
No, it wasn't.
They reran it on a bunch of different.
Probably on Lifetime in the late 90s. And it was probably just like on local affiliates would just rerun it.
Yeah,
I think it was on our like CBS affiliate or something.
I think it was on our like Fox like one, weirdly. Like, just as like logistic reruns when they would just rerun sitcoms and stuff. But it was one of the sitcoms that like, if it was on, I would be watching that. You know what I mean? Like, and like, I remember they would air it on some channel during the summer, during the day. That like, on the days that like, I was inside.
Yeah, this seems like a kind of thing like A&E would run during the, not A&E, but like a USA maybe.
Or like Bravo maybe at the time.
Or like a TNT or something.
Yeah, before all those channels turned into like, reality TV and Law and Order.
Yeah, the exact same.
Yeah.
They're all the same.
Yeah, they would show like various like reruns of like sitcoms that had hit the rerun threshold.
I remember like, being a kid and you're homesick, it's like you're venturing into like, unknown territory, because it's like, what do you guys play during the day?
Yeah.
Oh, you play Designing Women.
Yeah. But I love Design. I genuinely loved it. And I remember when I found out that you had never watched it.
Yeah.
I was genuinely shocked because it's like, to me, is such a show about like strong Southern women.
It's essentially a pilot I've already written.
I think you did tell me about like something you were writing with. So I was like, that sounds like Designing Women, which is great because like, why not have that show be a show again? Because it's, watching it now, it feels very modern.
I mean, this started 85 to 86 was season 1 for it. So
okay.
I was a newborn.
Yeah.
So at that point, if your parents don't watch it, you don't watch it. At least that's the way kind of like, you're before you're the age of like 5 or 6, you're not making your own TV choices. And my mom loved Golden Girls. So I've watched Golden Girls for as long as I can remember. Like I remember Saturday nights, I would watch Golden Girls, but they never watched Designing Women.
Which is so weird to me. I guess because it is a pretty sexy show. Like there's like the sex was a major theme even in this one episode we just watched.
Yeah.
So I can see your parents not being into that.
And I also do wonder what the time, because also the show, so it is weird that they like Golden Girls but didn't like Designing Women. And the one difference between the two of them is that Designing Women is a lot more political at times, usually just through monologues.
Yeah.
Which.
But it is in general, I think. In general, I think it's far more liberal. It's like, it is a show about Southern women, right? In a very, like, capital S Southern. Like, they're very proud of, like...
It's a bunch of Blanches.
But it is also, like, they... The four main characters are four women, all of whom have different hair colors, and only one of whom is blonde, which is apparently a thing in the South. I was, like, reading this article recently. All right, I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But then also, like, in the first, like, section of the episode we just watched, there was not a single white man on screen, and the first scene was just women, and Anthony, who's, like, played by Meshach Taylor, is, like, the other main character of the show is a black man, and so, like...
Is his character gay?
No. So, apparently, because I always kind of thought he was, but he gets married later to a woman, because I always kind of assumed that as well, and I think there were, like, I don't know why that was a thing, or, like, why that, I feel like... Of our generation, if you heard of that show, you kind of assumed that Meshach Taylor's character was gay. But I don't think it was ever even really implied. So he was an ex-con. So that was, like, the main thing. So I think, so it's, like, a show of Southern women who like, only one of whom is married, I think. And then there's, like, a lot of divorce. There's a lot of sex that they talk about pretty frankly. And then also that Meshach Taylor is black and an ex-con. So, like, even though it's not, like, overtly political, except aside from, like, Dixie Carter would, like, give, like, political rants every once in a while. Also, I found out semi-recently, around the time when Dixie Carter passed away, that she was actually really conservative.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And she...
They
had a one-to-one deal. Linda Bloodworth Thomason, who was, like, the creator and, like, head writer for a long time, she... And Dixie Carter would have a deal where, like, every season that she did, like, a political rant like that, she then would get to sing a song.
Yeah.
Because Dixie Carter loved to sing, I guess.
That's pretty great.
It's, I mean, hilarious.
I mean, honestly, it's like win-win, right?
Yeah, she's like, I'll do it, but only if I get to sing a song. Like, why?
So I'd never seen it. It's also, you cannot stream it anywhere.
Which sucks. It's so good.
So my husband, I asked for season 1 for Christmas, and so my husband got me that. So I have at this point seen, I think, 5 episodes.
Okay.
And your point about it mostly being, so there were some episodes I would end it and I'd be like, was there even a man in that episode?
Yeah.
Which is kind of also, like, Golden Girls would regularly have, well, I guess I assume Meshach Taylor becomes the 5th. He's a recurring in season 1, so this is the first episode I've seen with him in it.
Okay, I was actually concerned because, like, in the opening credits, like, he wasn't listed, and I was like, no, is Meshach Taylor not in this episode? Because I was going to be
heartbreaking. So he becomes a regular, whereas, like, Stanley's Zvornak is essentially the 5th Golden Girl, but he's never a regular, and he only appears, like, at most, maybe, like, 6 times a season, but it
I'm pretty sure Anthony is in almost every episode.
Yeah.
He's, like, their odd job man who, like, is the delivery guy and, like... but so even though he isn't like a designer, he is like an equal part of like the sugar baker associates.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like they treat him as an equal in terms of like the business, you know, so, or not the business, but like interacting with him. They're not like, oh, Anthony, go to like, respect his opinion.
I just feel like it's wild, but I don't know if I can think of a Golden Girls episode where there are no men in it, because one of them is always dating someone or like is having sex with someone. But like a couple of the Designing Women episodes I've watched have been just the 4 of them. And if they have an issue, like I think the beauty pageant episode that like, which is episode 2 that has the lights went out in Georgia.
Oh, it's in the second?
It's second episode.
Really?
Second or third. I'm pretty sure it's the second one.
Wow. I thought that was like much later in the show.
Yeah. And I think that one has no men in it with speaking lines or something. Like very few. Cause I remember like, I think that was all like, it's a show about women and their relationships with each other and their conflicts with like others. And it's very interesting. This week on Must Have Seen TV, we're going to be talking about Designing Women episode Grand Slam Thank You, Ma'am. It is the 21st episode of Season 1 and was written by Linda Bloodworth-Thomason and directed by Barnett Kelman. Here's how IMDb describes the episode. Suzanne's ex-husband, an Atlanta Braves pitcher named Jack Dent, writes a scandalous autobiography in which she admits to an unprecedented amount of infidelity during their 3-year marriage. Katie, how accurate is that description?
100% accurate.
Totally accurate.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You
yeah.
really get that name, Jack Dent.
Jack Dent, yeah. That was like, yeah, I don't remember how many times, like, Suzanne's been married in the show.
Did they say three? I guess I read 3-year marriage. That's stuck.
Yeah, I think she definitely has like several ex-husbands.
She also seems very young.
Yeah, she Delta is really
Burke
young.
Looks like she's maybe 25.
Yeah, what? That's kind of the weird thing too, where it's like it's hard to tell how old people actually are in like 80s makeup. Yeah.
Well, also, you know? Like because Dixie Carr. So first of all, I only know all of their real names, which also I guess shows how pervasive. So. Growing up, never watching Designing Women, yeah. I knew all 4 of those actresses' names. Wow. Obviously, I knew Annie Potts because fucking Janine Melnitz.
Yeah.
Love Ghostbusters. Like, I love...
That was the other thing. It's like, I remember finding out that you knew Annie Potts exclusively from, like...
What you want.
Ghostbusters. And, like, you didn't, like...
I didn't know she was on Designing Women.
You didn't know she was Southern.
No.
I remember we had this whole conversation.
She's from New York. She's Janine.
No, she's not. She's so from Tennessee. Like, yeah. So I looked up. She's from Tennessee. And to me, like, she's so... I associate her most strongly with, like, being, like, a Southern actor.
Yeah.
And, like, whenever I would watch Ghostbusters, I'd always be like, oh, right. She's, like, doing this, like...
She can do a character.
Queens
See,
accent.
I'm the other one. You know? I'm like, oh, she's doing a Southern accent.
No,
in this.
It's, like,
weird.
Her real...
She's from Queens.
So. Yeah. If you watch her in anything else, she has, like, a vague Southern accent. Because
yeah.
she plays on... Law and Order, she plays, like, a defense attorney, like, throughout a bunch of episodes, who has, like, a Southern... And she usually defends, like, kids, I want to say.
No.
But it's... Yeah, she's definitely... yeah.
So
that's crazy to me.
The episode starts with the opening credits, which it is Georgia On My Mind, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I'm honestly also not that familiar with Georgia On My Mind.
Me neither. I'd forgotten that was like a big song.
And it is like the most music. It is so 80s and so
very
music. 80s, it's just
very,
like.
Because it's got like the saxophone thing.
It's a saxophone that sounds like it's played by a computer. It's like that keyboardy saxophone kind of sound.
We just forget how saxophone focused the 80s were.
Yeah.
They really love their saxophone in the 80s.
And I guess it's surrounded in a swirl of synths. There's like a lot of like, it just sounds like a breeze blowing through a wind chime. And I also love that the opening credits are all like still shots of what you would assume is like each character's like nightstand, like their bedside table in a way or something.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like, cause.
I thought it was like their desks.
Or their desk probably would make sense, I guess.
Cause it is like a workplace comedy in that way.
Yeah. But they're all really, like the photos are very beautiful.
Yeah.
Like they look like they are. Classy advertisements from like 80s Vogue or something.
Or
like the colors are very nice and the.
I think less 80s Vogue and more like glamour shots.
Yeah.
But like now we have like a particular association with glamour shots. I think at the time glamour shots were like glamorous.
Yeah. Like they're all it's all like very nice, like deep, well light, like well lit.
Yeah.
Like, it's very like cool. It's very bright and like very nice. And you also see one of their sons. Is it
Julia Sugarbaker's son,
which is Dixie Carter.
Carter's
who? So that blows me away because he's in the opening credits via that photo.
Yeah,
he's not. He like I've seen him. He's in episode like 3 or 4. But it is so weird to me the foresight.
Yeah.
I guess they probably already shot the first couple episodes before they aired and then had... It's weird, like, did they cast him to be, hey, you're going to be in the photo, also we're going to call on you to act? Like,
yeah.
I don't know what came first.
That guy's an actor.
He is an actor. I recognize him. I think he plays one of the lawyers on Angel or something.
Yeah, he does, like, a bunch of stuff like that.
I know him as, like, an old lawyer type on, like, procedurals and shit in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. So it's weird seeing him as, like, a teenager 20 years earlier
as
a kid.
I bet... I would be more, like, concerned that they were like, hey, look, you booked this show, you're going to be in it. And then he's like, not really.
You're well.
Like,
do you get residuals if you were in a photo on a desk in an opening credits?
Probably not.
So the very first thing that we get, so again, this is not an ABC plotline episode, although
it's kind of just
very much set up like it could be, because it starts off with Julia coming in and wanting to see the newspaper because they placed a $350 ad in the home section
Of their local newspaper.
Of the local newspaper. Now...
Which is probably like an Atlanta, Georgia, because so they're in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it's probably like a major metropolitan newspaper.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big city. Like, definitely in need of nice southern design. So, But it is, so like $350, even not taking inflation into account, is a shit ton of money for an ad, I think.
Yeah, and I was thinking that too, but then I was thinking about that Twitter thread. We talked about.
Because all of journalism is dying as we speak.
But they were saying like, it would cost like $500 to place a short classifieds ad.
That's why Craigslist was revolutionary.
Yeah. So I guess it wasn't that much.
So
can you fucking imagine?
She's trying
to sell a $1,500 car and then
500 of that has to go towards Jesus.
Fuck that. No, wow. Yeah.
Some things are better, but some things are worse. Most things are worse, some things are better. Anyway. So she's like, I want to see this ad. So she goes to Charlene.
Oh, I don't actually remember Jean Smart's character's name. Charlene?
It should be Charlene, but I'm pretty sure they pronounce it Charlene, and that, like,
I forget.
Upsets me.
I mean, it's a very southern thing. Like, so Jean Smart is a genius.
Oh, God, yes.
Genius. Like, I always knew she's, like, a really good actor, but, like, watching her in this, like, she's only in, like, three scenes.
Oh, no, Annie Potts has maybe one line in this episode, which is kind of a shame.
More, but it's not a ton. Like, it's definitely not, it's a Suzanne heavy.
Yes.
Like, a Delta Burke heavy episode, for sure.
Yeah.
But Jean Smart is amazing. And just, like, her few lines is, like, when she's trying to not give, like, Juliet the ad, and she's like,
Juliet, don't I owe you a dollar?
What for?
Lunch the other day. I was short, remember?
You know I don't keep track of those things. Just forget it.
Oh, no. I could never do that. It would bother me.
Charlene, where's the home section?
Julie, you ever look at a dollar bill and wonder where it's been? I mean, do you ever just kind of hold it in your hand and think maybe it's been with somebody you used to know? You know, like somebody you went to high school with, or somebody you used to be in love with, or maybe even somebody you're going to meet and fall in love with sometime in the future. And you never know that you both had that same dollar.
And it's so good.
I know Jean Smart from, she's on Legion, which is the FX X-Men drama that I've only seen two episodes of.
Okay.
She's also on Dirty John, which just wrapped.
Oh, yeah. So she plays the lead, probably.
The grandmother.
Oh, she plays the grandmother.
Because Connie Britton is the
Okay. So
Jean Smart plays her mom.
That is some compressed aging.
Yeah, the timeline of that, they made the lead character like 10 years younger. And so, therefore, like, her sister getting killed happened in, like, the 90s and stuff.
See, that doesn't work.
It all is... But we met the... So this is totally tangent, but the real Deborah Newell came into office.
Really?
Job, and she... When I was like, what does she look like? And like, oh, yeah, that's Connie Britton. Like, you can totally
tell. I mean, she's gorgeous. Yeah. I can only imagine. Yeah. But she's like... That's
Jean
still
Smart
compressed aging.
Was also in... And so if anyone wants to go listen to a seasonal podcast in non-seasonal times, I did the Hallmark... a very Hallmark Christmas podcast, and she was in A Shoe Addict's Christmas.
Yep,
which
that makes sense
is one of the best shitty Christmas movies I've ever seen in my life. It stars Candace Cameron Bure, and Jean Smart plays her guardian angel.
Sure.
That comes and she does. She's a genius.
Yeah,
like we talked about how like that script was like eh, but the fact that it has Candace Cameron, who if you're going to do one of those movies, you want to bring her into it. She knows what to do. She's good.
Yeah, she'll hit her marks.
Yeah. And then Jean Smart is just playing a ditzy, flighty, like, first time out of the gate guardian angel.
And that's kind of the character she plays on Designing Women.
Yeah, like, she is the, like, she's kind of... Also, her delivery on Designing Women is unlike any vocal delivery I've really ever heard. It's a very, like, monotone kind of...
And then she'll land it.
Yeah, it's very... airy in a way.
Yeah, because she's kind of like an airhead character.
Yeah, it's very... So, they find... She finally, she's like, so relents and gives her the ad, which is... A gnat could roll it up and use it as a high school diploma.
Yep.
Is the, which is like, of how big it is.
Wow. That was a lot of work for that joke,
which
you guys.
Is very level. But that's also kind of a typical joke for this show, because it is like... A lot of setup for elaborate punchline you could never see coming.
No. And I think that's, like, kind of Linda Bloodworth Thomason's, like signature.
Yeah.
You know? And I think maybe that's one of the reasons that I was drawn to the show, is that it is like very verbal and wordy in that way. And like, even as a kid, I liked that stuff.
It's also so weird that this is one of the only examples of like almost an auteur sitcom in that Linda Bloodworth Thomason writes almost every episode.
Yeah. Especially early on.
Yeah. I think that it was maybe episode 5 or 6 until someone else had written one. Yeah. And that like Archer, every episode is written by Adam Reed.
Yeah.
Like, or like 90% of the episodes are written by Adam Reed.
Yeah.
But I can't. Maybe
early
think
Arrested
of
Development is like mostly Mitch Hurwitz.
But I and this may be something I should do for work is actually crush the numbers and see like what are the auteur sitcoms, because it is so like it's so crazy that she wrote basically all of at least season one that I've watched so far.
And I think she it's a show that has a very strong like Arthurial voice.
And
she remains like the producer with her husband as well. I think he's like the co-producer. And like until like pretty late, like several seasons in. And then I think maybe it was around when Delta Burke left that they left too.
Yeah, so they both that left, was kind of like five a whole seasons, thing. And then both Jean Smart and Delta Burke leave. Yeah. Jean Smart's like recurring in 6.
And then Jean Smart leaves and then gets replaced by
Jan Hooks and Julia Duffy come in. And those are like two actresses that I fucking love. Yeah. So it's like,
because I love Jan Hooks, and that was kind of like the only thing she did besides
SNL,
which is a fucking shame because she is was so incredible, and I wish she'd done more.
Yeah.
But she, even though I love her, and I loved her even at the time, because it was after I'd watched SNL with her, like all those seasons when she came on, or at least when I saw those. But I still don't like them as much.
Yeah, I want to get to those, like, out of the context of the time when it's, like, you're reading the headlines about, like, the drama and stuff. Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, what it will feel like when it gets there.
It's not as good. Yeah. I remember not liking it as much. Because even, like, Annie Potts' character gets married. Because she'd been married and then gets divorced. Right. So I think she's still married at this point. I think she gets divorced in, like, season 2 or season 3.
I think
3.
She is.
She has 2 kids, and there's, like, a whole thing of, like, her breaking up with her husband and, like, figuring
so much
out
to
the
look
whole...
forward to.
Yeah, there's, like, there's a lot of, like, her kind of trying to deal with, like, that and, like, because I think there's even a thing where, like, the husband wants to, get custody of the kids because she works.
Ooh.
And because they kind of talk about that. As far as I pretty vaguely remember from watching it in like the 90s, that was one of the plot lines.
So we think that this whole, the ad is so small, is going to be like the B plot.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you think it'd be the A plot because it's the first thing that happens, which is usually what happens.
Well, I also like sometimes sitcoms will like start with like a light B and then the A like comes in.
Sure.
And it's very, like,
you definitely assume that is going to happen.
And so because what happens is then all of a sudden there's a call, and it's Delta Burke's, it is Suzanne's ex, Jack, calls because he's written an autobiography, and he wants her to proofread the I was going to say manifesto.
Manuscript.
The manuscript.
Yeah.
It's kind
manifesto
of
fucking. Of
conquest.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, and so there's a line where she's like,
I'll just tell him I read it. He'll never know the difference.
Joking. Aren't you just a little bit curious what he said about you?
Well, not enough to read a whole book.
I don't want to read a book. Like,
no.
Ugh, a book?
She's like, I trust him. I know that we were in love, so it's all going to be fine.
Yeah.
And then her sister, Julia, is like, no. I will read this.
No.
And so, like, basically she's like, I will read it, and I just, like, don't tell me anything about it. Which is like, well, that's going to set up.
Yeah. And then that's the whole episode.
Yeah, and then it's literally everything after that, because the next scene is Meshach Taylor comes. Well, it's like, so Julia's upstairs reading it, and they're like, it's so quiet. It's the quietest we've ever heard, or something. And then when Meshach Taylor, Anthony. I'm trying hard to
I always forget
say,
his name on that show, too.
For some reason, I don't know, did Meshach Taylor do anything else? Because for some reason, as a kid who did not watch this show, I knew who Meshach Taylor was on sight.
He was in Mannequin. He was, like, one of the main characters in Mannequin.
Maybe.
The movie. And also, he just has, like, one of those names that you're like,
so you hear Meshach, you're like,
yeah,
okay,
you're like,
cool,
I will
Meshach.
Never forget that name.
Forget Meshach.
And then I have to look it up, because I looked him up, because I wanted to see when he passed away, because it was very sad. He passed away in 2014.
Oh, wow.
He was on Dave's World.
I watched Dave's World.
Yeah. And then he also...
I remember that.
He did a voice on Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. So it just looked kind of after our generation of
kids watching.
Yeah, watching that stuff. But yeah, he and he was born in Boston and then grew up in New Orleans for most of his life, apparently.
Oh, that's a lot of genuine casting.
So there's a lot of because they all have varying degrees of strong Southern accents.
Yeah.
And he does have one, which I was I couldn't quite remember if he did or not.
So basically,
Anthony Bouvier, which is a very New Orleans name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he didn't have any, he's I didn't read it, et cetera, but then it was revealed.
You're really?
He's no, it fell out and it opened up, and then he read it.
He just had to. Part. Yeah.
And it's oh boy, Jack Dent had sex with a shit ton of groupies.
Yeah, a lot of groupies. A
lot of groupie sex. Julia comes down and she says something about
what I want to know is, when did this man find time to play baseball?
Jack actually say that he played around while he and Suzanne were married?
I don't think I would call it playing around. More like sexual bombing strikes on major American cities.
Great line.
Such a great line. And then my next two notes are, Jean Smart is a genius, Dixie Carter is a genius. Because they are. Also, what's Evelyn Wood? He talks about He didn't read all of it. Anthony says it fell out. He didn't read all of it. I'm not an Evelyn Wood graduate.
Oh, which, yeah. Is that a school?
Maybe it's a speed reading reference. It was definitely it felt like a reference that we just didn't get that it's 2019.
Evelyn Wood is a British Army officer?
What? That
definitely is probably not
what, Evelyn Wood, maybe.
Whatever. Who knows? Then when, Suzanne comes home, it's they end up telling her.
Yeah. Evelyn Wood is a speed reading teacher.
Oh.
Which is what I kind of guessed from context that
it
was
makes
speed
sense.
Reading. But that is so yeah, I mean definitely a reference of the time. No one would I can't imagine anyone except
it's not even it's not a regional thing at least, right?
No, she was American. Let's see. Okay, so the system was taught in seminars as Evelyn Wood Speed Reading Dynamics, a business co-founded with her husband, which ultimately had 150 outlets in the U.S. So,
that was all over the place.
Yeah,
then.
Definitely
good.
Pretty widespread.
So Annie Potts also gets one of Annie Potts's good jokes. Isn't she the one that says he didn't name names so much as states?
That was Julia, too, actually.
Oh, man. Because that's also a good...
No, that was Jean Smart. That was Jean Smart.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, well, I would hardly dignify by calling them affairs. At least he was discreet. He didn't name names.
He didn't have to. He named states.
So that's another good, another good
Charming,
joke about, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Annie Potts didn't get very many... She was in it, but did not get as many... Because she is also kind of the straight character.
Yes.
Throughout the show. Yeah. She is, more deadpan and, kind of set stuff up more for Dixie Carter to swan in and
it is
lay
really
it on.
Interesting that if the Golden Girls represent the four major archetypes of characters, if you will, you want a quartet,
mm-hmm.
designing women has a different version of that.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't really one, Suzanne and Blanche aren't one to one. They are ish,
no,
but the fact
closest.
That she is younger.
Yeah.
And also, the little sister gives it a different vibe.
Yeah. I would say that's the closest analog.
But, and Rose and Charlene are... Charlene is smarter than Rose.
I don't know. I think that's a pretty close, one-to-one.
But
I think.
I don't think that Julia and Dorothy... I feel like maybe... What's Annie Potts' character's name?
I forgot.
Jeez, I'm so bad.
I'll look it up.
She might be more there is no Sophia of these four.
Yeah, nobody's really...
No one's a feisty little asshole.
I would
asshole.
Say, Julia is a mix of Dorothy and Sophia.
Right, yeah.
Because she'll
be
biting. Because at one point, I'm she's such an older sister.
Yeah.
Because she's... Suzanne's older sister.
Yeah.
I think when Delta Burks leaves,
there's another sugar baker. I think, is Julia Duffy another sugar baker, I think?
Yes. That blonde woman. Oh, what's her name? Oh, I don't remember her name, but there's another who's like a cousin.
Yeah. Comes in, that's it. Yeah.
And then comes in, because it's not just the two of them. It's not just Jan Hooks and what's her name.
Well, because Julia Duffy's only there for a season, and then they bring in someone to replace her.
Oh, is that who I'm thinking of? Julia Duffy?
Yeah.
Because there's like the older woman. I'm thinking of the older woman.
Oh, I don't know.
So maybe that's who Julia Duffy is.
Because Julia Duffy was on Newhart, and that's where
Yes. So Julia Duffy's who I forgot about, and then a different woman comes in who's like older.
So after they finally end up telling Suzanne about all this, she's like shocked. Mm-hmm. She can't believe it. And then the next scene is them at a sports bar, which is the only place she's going to be able to go because no one knows her there. Because everyone's
getting
gone.
So drunk.
Yeah, just getting hilarious. All drunk on martinis. Mm-hmm. I also noted that they are sitting in a half booth, which is maybe the perfect solution to for sitcoms.
Yeah.
Because you normally have to see four people crowd around three sides of a table, which is not how anyone ever sits.
Yeah.
Ever, because of the fourth wall that the audience has to look at.
That's interesting, too, because like Seinfeld... They do it in a booth, but it's over one of their shoulders.
But like, if you look, think of the Golden Girls' kitchen. When any four of them are seated in a scene, it's three of them. It's usually Blanche, Dorothy, and Rose seated, and Sophia on a stool.
Oh,
she brings over a stool from the island and like usually sits in between, like,
or someone standing, or one person standing.
There's never anyone sitting on that far end. So a half booth, which is a thing that exists.
Yeah,
you do sit at those.
That's what they Happy Endings. Their main. Sitting, like, because they'll sometimes sit at a four-seater if it's only two of them.
Right.
But when everyone's there, they'll sit at a half moon thingy. And then, because then if someone else shows up, Max gets pushed out and he falls down. And he's like, there's no room. Guys, there's no room. And then he falls out.
It's such a smart little thing.
Yeah, it was smart.
Oh, and I did notice, so, like, they're at the sports bar, the game is on, and all of a sudden Jack is being interviewed.
Look, it's Jack. They're interviewing him on the TV.
Oh, that's right. There's a game tonight.
Boo!
I told you we should never let her order a drink that doesn't come with an umbrella in it.
Boo!
And one of the guys sitting at the bar that turns around and tells her to be quiet is the cop that becomes the reception front desk guy on ER.
Yes!
Yep.
That's who. I was trying to remember what big thing I knew.
Yeah, he is in the pilot episode of ER as a cop, just playing a cop that gets shot. And then 5 years later, when he comes in to, like, play the new front desk person, they just retroactively make him the same character as
that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot
like,
that.
Because they reveal, like, I was a cop at one point, and he has the same name.
Oh.
So I was like, that's smart. Well,
that's really cool.
I like that, like, instead of casting the same actor to play two different characters, they just make him the same guy.
And it's a
lot. Yeah. And it's like, no, he was just in the pilot episode, and now he's back 6 years later. Yeah.
So he replaced, what's his face?
He replaced, I think, Abraham Ben Ruby.
The guy who was, like, big trash monster in that episode of X-Files.
Yes.
Or he wasn't really the trash monster, but he hides under the...
Yeah. And he was also the gay son on Wings.
Oh,
Roy's gay son.
Yeah.
And he was also Olaf the Troll on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
He's like huge.
Yeah, he's a huge man.
He's a big dude.
Although on Wings, he is a baby because he's like a high schooler. He's playing a high schooler, he's like this like big puffy faced like cutie.
And that kind of works for like Roy. Like you'd think that would be his son.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like basically,
we
gotta
do Wings.
Roy, but sweet. Have you done Wings before?
No.
Ooh,
still not
you
done
gotta.
Wings yet.
Maybe I'll make my sister come do an episode because part of the reason she moved to Nantucket, literally moved to Nantucket, was because of how much she loves Wings. She lives on Nantucket, an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
That's insane.
Because of Wings.
It's at this point where I noted that this and Golden Girls are two shows that love stories, because the main point of this whole scene is for Suzanne to tell a story about putting Ben Gay in Jack Dent's athletic supporter.
Yeah.
Which is
thank
what
you for using the full phrase, athletic supporter.
Yeah,
they call it athletic cup. They don't call it a jock strap or anything.
Yeah.
So they do call it, like, slightly less gross.
It was all gross. But, so, like, she's so drunk that she can't even get out of the bar.
Yeah.
Which is a really fun physical gag.
But also, I can't believe her friend, like, the fact that they just let her go.
Yeah, she's tanked.
It's like, she's so drunk.
And she's like, I'm gonna go to the stadium. And then she gets up and she walks. She walks over to the brick wall and then, like, touches it as if she's looking for a doorknob.
And then, like, turns around and is like, no, this is the way to go.
And I like how deep it is in the set. It's a really good use of the space.
Yeah, it
because
is.
It's not, like, close up. It's, like, it's happening off in the background.
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
It, and they just let her go.
Yeah.
That's weird. If what? I was her actual, I mean, I think part of it is like no one actually likes Suzanne, which is like the subtext for most of like the show, is that Suzanne is there. No one likes her.
Yeah.
Like Julia doesn't like her. Like, she loves her because she's her sister.
What are all of their jobs in the design firm? Because that's another thing that I've now seen, like, seven episodes, and I don't know because
Jean
they
Smart
never actually
is
talk
the, about it. Yeah, Jean Smart is the receptionist.
That makes sense.
I think she... There's, like, a thing where, like, because she got married very young.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and then... But no, she didn't, because she gets married later. I don't... There's something of, like, why she didn't... Like, how come she has kind of, like, a more blue-collar...
Yeah.
Lower class kind of, like, background.
Yeah.
But I don't recall. Annie Potts, I think, is, like, the architect designer.
Because she's always walking around carrying big portfolios.
Yeah, and so. then Julia Sugarbaker is the designer. Design, like, the interior designer.
Yes,
because
so
she kind of, like, picks
her, that's
stuff.
Her house, too. And it's just filled with so much Southern bric-a-brac, like,
mm-hmm. And she, things. So she's, like, very much, like, the, it's her studio.
Yeah.
Like, it's her.
Then what does
thing.
Suzanne do?
I think Suzanne
is
just
she
kind
she
of.
Is just there?
Yeah, she's just there. I think she does have a job, technically, but it's very much like a, what, give me a job, I'm rich.
Yeah.
You know.
So Suzanne goes, so we now find out that apparently in 1986 you could just walk into the Atlanta Braves locker room.
Yeah.
Because this drunk woman, apparently like right before the game, too, because...
I think it's after the game.
No, because they start, when she says the fat lady sings and then the,
okay, cause, yeah,
the national
the
anthem starts.
Yeah, I was confused
so
about that
I thought it was at
too.
The end,
yeah.
too, because a guy's getting, it looks like they're all taking off their uniforms and kind of putting them on.
I guess.
So she walks in, I noted that these are... A whole bunch of lame-ass, doughy 80s
very
baseball
80s,
players.
Yeah, very 80s,
because you think
white.
Of baseball players now, and it's like they are huge monsters.
Yeah,
like, they're
jacked.
Just like, they are muscles.
This is before the steroids, like, reveal. But
or
also
even,
before it was huge, you know what I mean?
Like, or
was,
even like, before athletes were expected to have muscles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because these are just like a whole bunch of like, just... men. Like, they're not...
They're just, like, dudes.
Yeah.
Just, like, medium dudes.
Like, the guy that is getting, I guess, a massage or whatever is getting, like, some physical therapy.
Yeah.
Like,
something.
I mean...
Like, all right.
He's just, like, a... He's just doughboy. Like,
yeah.
Not in a bad way, obviously, but, like, he just looks like a little, like, baby man.
Definitely like a, hey, what's up?
Yeah, it's so weird.
Oh, she makes me feel cheap. That was so weird.
So, she's, like, confronting him about, like, all this stuff. And she's, you know, how dare you while you were out.
Like, well, be, but who was it that went out and got your vitamin C pills, huh? And who cleaned the mud out of your little cleats?
Your maid?
That's right. Who do you think was paying her for?
Yeah, that's like, this is like the second time we hear about her maid as well.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, like, we
Mary,
find out.
Mary Jo is Annie Potts' character.
Okay, Mary Jo.
I looked up.
So we, Mary Jo Shively.
Yeah.
So we find out earlier on that the biggest argument that Jack and Suzanne had was over, like, well, he just never cleaned up anything, and I had my maid, and I wanted him to get a maid, but he wouldn't do
but
it.
But he wouldn't.
And it's
how
like,
can you be with someone like that?
It's like, that's the
what?
Argument.
Yeah.
Is over them not having two maids.
Yeah. It's also interesting, too, because, like, so it's established that he's, like, a very successful pitcher in Major League Baseball, and yet it's pretty clear that, like, Suzanne has the money.
Yeah.
Has more money than him. You know what I mean? Which I think is, like, kind of the whole time, like, you know that, like, the sugar bakers, like, are well off.
Yeah.
But it also seems, because it's not just that, like, Julia's, like, company is successful. It's that, like, it's family money.
Yeah.
You know?
They definitely come from some money.
Yeah.
Which I feel like you need to come from some money to start a frivolous business like interior design.
Yeah.
I mean, not to like down, but like
especially,
it really helps.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing,
oh,
I think,
sure.
to get going.
Yeah.
Just ask Leroy on Instant Hotel.
Exactly. Oh, God. We should call him right now. And then he'll just talk about all of his.
So at this
credits.
Point, so like she reveals, like, you know, I'm responsible for that loss against the Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I was going to say Steelers, but Pittsburgh
Pirates.
Yeah. And I underlined basically this show is about ladies' revenge.
Yeah.
Because so many of them are a man or someone does something wrong to them, and it is a big old monologue, and they like, tell them off, and then, like,
Linda
leave.
Butterworth,
and
she
I'm like,
loves monologues.
I love that. Coming from coming from a family of a bunch of Southern women, I will say this is very accurate.
Right?
This is
why I wanted you to watch this show for so long. I was like, Brett, you're going to love it. It's so good.
I come from a family. My mom and all of her sisters have basically torn a swath
just like
service workers of the South.
Oh, God. Yeah. yeah, I feel like in a lot of ways, like, I've only met your mom once, and, like, we're not close at all. But the stories I've heard about your mom remind me of Julia Sugarbaker a fair amount.
It's very much. It is very that.
Yeah.
So
I wasn't wrong.
I come from. So she, like, storms off. She's drunk, but she storms off because she's got her lady's revenge. And then we, like, slow dissolve to a telephone out of the Gilded Age.
Yeah.
It's like the Vanderbilt's telephone.
Because it wasn't just like, I feel like you never see these even in like set design anymore, but it was the kind of telephone that has like the perpendicular bar across the top, but then the bottom like curved thing. So it like sits in a little cradle on the top.
Yes, yeah.
And you pick it up and it has like a curved thing that goes around to your mouth.
Yeah.
Which like, I can't even remember where, there's some like in my mind, like, oh, that was like a very big, like, what's the word? Like,
those, yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember what it's from, but it was just like, oh, that thing. That was so 80s.
Well, then we see all of Suzanne's bedroom, and it is just like a satin dream.
It's pink satin. Quilted bedspread.
Like, her like, nightgown matches the pillow. Like, it's just all this, like,
sleeping with a mask. I'm surprised the eye mask wasn't also pink.
Why not? It was black.
Yeah, it was black.
She's sleeping to soft rock radio, which just like hearing that tone of voice from the DJ just brought back all of my like those late 80s soft rock radio memories. Yeah.
And it's back when everyone sounded like Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
Delilah.
Because it used to be like everyone sounded like Delilah, and now it's just Delilah sounds like Delilah, which is weird.
But I used to go to sleep to, I think it was 105.9. It was like The Heart or something. So in the day, I would listen to 107.5. Why 107? Because that was the top 40. Get my you know, rock and roll, dance music, R&B fix.
Get all your pops.
But to go to sleep as a 7-year-old, I needed the smooth sounds of Richard Marx.
Oh my God.
Some Bryan Adams ballads.
Styx.
The ballads. So, but like hearing that soft rock, I'm like, God, that was such a thing.
Yeah.
So she's listening to it, and so like her phone is ringing, and also she's listening to the radio, and the radio comes on.
You're listening to WXIU. Randy Garrett here. We just got a request from my old drinking buddy, Jack Dent. You know, it's hard to turn down a guy who's just made a 4-0 for the season. Suzanne. We know you're listening because it's your habit to tune in after you're in bed. Now, Jack is phoning you from a close-by phone, and if you don't answer, he's going to come break down your door.
That was so weird.
And if you don't answer, he's going to come in anyway.
He's going to break down the door, is what the guy said. I was just like, genuinely like,
And it happens.
And then
you hear the Consuela, the maid, like yelling at him, like, "What are you? Get out!"
So, question, and I don't remember if this was like a plot point or like a joke in it. Is Consuela a character you never actually meet?
I don't know. Maybe she might be, because I haven't seen her. I did not know she existed, and I have not seen her.
Okay, so it is implied in this one episode that Consuela is one of those characters that you hear but never meet. Maris is kind of like that, right?
Yeah, also Stanley on Will and Grace. And also, I think Fran Fine's dad.
Yeah, Fran Fine's dad. There's one episode where you meet him.
Yeah.
And it's what's-his-face.
Half of Wilson's face.
Half of Wilson's face. Yep, that definitely counts. But yeah, there's a bunch of that kind of, like,
kind of like, it's such a weird, stupid thing.
It is.
Vera on Cheers, Norm's wife.
Yes.
Yeah. So he finally comes in. And then, this is where it got hard to figure out what was real and what was not true, like what was fake.
Mm-hmm.
Because he basically says, "No, baby, none of that stuff was true.
He wanted to write a book about baseball, but that publishers weren't interested.
No.
They needed some spice. They needed some Page Six.
Yeah.
You know, some gossip.
Some hot baseball goss.
Yeah.
Of his sexual bombing strikes. So he made all of it up, and all the group of stories were lies, apparently.
That's interesting, too, because, like, I know that that's like a stereotype of baseball players. Yeah. That they like have sex with like hundreds of people.
This is
like,
all. Yeah, this is so similar to the Cheers episode from 4 years earlier than this, season one Cheers, The Boys in the Bar, where Sam's old, like, Sam was a pitcher for the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So his old buddy was like, oh, he's writing a book. Cool. Yeah, hold your book. You know, whatever. Hold your book release party at the bar. Mm-hmm. And it turns out his friend is coming out. It's like, I'm actually a gay baseball player.
Oh.
And he's shocked because they were, like, always bagging chicks back in the day.
Oh.
So it is interesting. Like, both these episodes are about baseball players releasing memoirs that reveal a secret.
Yeah.
Except for Jack Dent.
Jack Dent.
Apparently the big secret was a lie.
Yeah.
Which I kept waiting for the episode to actually reveal the truth of, like, no, he's just fucking lying because Jack sucks, which I wrote and underlined. And I was like, he obviously sucks, and they're gonna reveal, no, he's lying about lying, and he's a dirtbag, kick him out. That doesn't happen.
No. I mean, it is interesting. One of the things kind of consistently that I noticed in this episode is how much sexual agency all the characters have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Sudan is in control of every element of the situation with him. Like, even though she's, like, betrayed in this thing that she finds out, every time she interacts with him, every time she interacts with anyone, it's like, she's in control of it, she tells him to leave, he kind of pushes back a little bit, but she's like, no, get out of here.
Even after they kind of make up, and he, like, kisses her, and she's like, oh, she kind of, like, likes that, he, like, kisses her goodnight, and then he tries to get back at me, and she's like,
nope,
bye.
Nope, bye. So that, I thought, was, like, really fascinating for, like, a show set in the 80s.
Yeah. It's also Jack Dent for being a, you know, the pitcher of the Braves. He should be very high status. You definitely never feel that.
No.
At all. He always feels very pathetic.
Yeah. I don't think, so I think he was lying about.
Lying.
I think he was lying about sleeping with all those people.
Okay. So, well, yeah, that's what the plot says.
And the thing at the end where he's like, remember that? Remember the Athletic Cup thing for the Pirates? Payback.
Yeah, now we're even.
So he was like, I think that, for me, the way I read it as, like, genuine, was that him, like, doing that was a way to, like,
get back at her.
Get back at her.
Him lose that. Yeah. Pirates, not Steelers.
Yeah, Pirates. Steelers is football.
Football. It's the footy balls.
Footmers. Yeah, but it was, so I bought that, and because I do think, like, they did actually have, like, a pretty good relationship, which I think is also an interesting subversion of the trope of the ex-husbands, where, like, she actually did get along with all of her exes, and they broke up for, like, weird, like, Suzanne Sugarbaker reasons.
Even at the beginning, she's excited to talk to him on the phone because she's like, he's still in love with me.
Yeah.
This is great. He's not a Stanley.
No.
See, that's and the thing.
And he's also,
is,
and he does, like, everything that, all of his behavior does show that he is still in love with her,
mm-hmm.
or at least, like, has a great deal of affection for her.
Yeah.
Which is also a subversion of that trope.
Yeah, I guess it is actually. I was expecting it to do the normal sitcom thing of, like, well, he's obviously a bad person.
Yeah.
And he's definitely lying about lying, and he's going to get found out. And she's going to be like, "Revenge, Ladies Revenge Part 2.
Yeah.
Two in one episode. Doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. Because I think, I read that as, like, pretty genuine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. I'm glad you have it now, like the season one on DVD. I'm excited for you to watch it all, because I do think you'll really like it.
Yeah. I wish that it wasn't on DVD.
Yeah,
because I have to be in the living room to watch it. I can't like watch it while I work out or anything.
It is crazy that it is not streaming anymore.
I tried to do an article I've tried to do this many times at work, of do it like, why isn't X streaming? Because it's such a weird mystery. But it's almost impossible to find out because, so I emailed CBS All Access. Because that's what they should have it, and they don't. But there are weird things of like Blossom aired on NBC, but it was produced by Buena Vista and Touchstone, which are Disney. So ABC has the rights, and so on Hulu it says ABC before it plays, even though it aired on NBC. So there's all weird shit like that. Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine was produced by like Universal, but it aired on Fox.
But that's the thing. It's like the company that produces it is not necessarily who ends up selling it.
Yeah.
Like who it's they sell
all,
it to.
So I emailed like CBS All Access. I also tried. Emailed Linda Bloodworth Thomason's like publicist or PR person. Because
it's not like Murphy Brown where they had all of that music rights stuff.
I do think that, so I did notice that I think Sony Pictures Television has the rights. I think they are the distribution company for Designing Women. And so Sony, almost all of Sony's shows do not stream anywhere.
Really?
It's also like, they also I think have Bewitched.
Wow.
I like read the list and it's like, and Murphy Brown might be one of them. I think Seinfeld is the only one, but Seinfeld is also owned by like Castle Rock or something. And so they like got, so it might be a Sony thing.
That's as close
as I got. But again, when you email people trying to find out this stuff, they don't get back to you and it's very hard.
It's funny too, because like, I think Designing Women would be really cool to have streaming for a lot of reasons, but it's also, it doesn't feel super dated or super 80s.
No, aside from that one Evelyn Wood joke.
Yeah, which we are like, I think from context it's a speed reading thing. Yeah, but it was. But like, it doesn't feel like it. Like, it looks like it.
And that's what people would love now.
Yeah, and it, even in the first, because like, I will watch season one episodes of shows that started airing in 2004, and I'm like, oh god, this feels so dated.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And this was a season one episode that aired in, what you said, 1987?
86.
It doesn't feel tonally or structurally really all that dated.
87, sorry.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
Ready for some must-have facts?
Yes.
So, how many people would you think watched this episode of television?
8 million.
16 million people.
Jeez.
So, for the week, it ranked number 22.
Wow! Boy, television was different in the
80s. It's so wild.
Wow.
So, the top five shows the week this aired. Number five was Murder, She Wrote.
Yep, makes sense.
Four was Moonlighting.
Oh, yeah, right.
Three was the show we will never do on this podcast, The Cosby Show. And if we do The Cosby Show, it will be with someone who loved The Cosby Show that we can actually, like, dissect.
Yeah.
Because...
Fuck him.
That's one of those... Oh, well. Two, Family Ties.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And number one was Cheers.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that makes sense. 22? So, yeah,
number 22 for the
22
week.
22 with 16 million viewers.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So this aired as part of CBS's Monday Night lineup.
Okay.
And the Monday Night lineup at that time was Kate and Allie.
Oh, okay.
Which, I've never seen an episode of that show.
You know why I know that show? Because it's used as a clue in crosswords a bunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Allie is like a good crossword name.
Because that's Jane Curtin's post-SNL sitcom, and it drives me crazy that there's so much Jane Curtin content out there that I've not seen, I can't see, because it is nowhere.
Yeah, it sucks. Jane Curtin is the best.
And then some show called My Sister Sam.
Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Sure didn't last long, I don't know. Yeah. And then New Heart, and then Designing Women. And then the 10 p.m. drama was Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, okay.
So that's a very
woman-heavy,
except for it's... And then Bob Newhart is the example of, like, male virility.
Yeah, that lineup. The least manly, like, version. The most, wow. That's crazy. Fucking hilarious.
What a good night of television.
Yeah.
So on IMDb, 659 users rated this an 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I would...
Would you go higher, lower? Is that right on the money?
Maybe a little bit higher, but yeah. I think it's not super well balanced for the cast.
Yeah, they
I would like to have watched, like, an episode that was, like, more well balanced amongst like the 4 to 5 of them, you know, like all of them plus.
Because we didn't get any. So like the must see performance of this episode, our options are very limited.
Yeah, I would say Jean Smart, even though it was like such a small amount of stuff. Delta Burke is amazing. Let's not. I don't want to detract from her, like,
but
skills.
Like, you're gonna see. So when you watch this, I do also agree. You just keep an eye on Jean Smart at all times.
She's so funny. She's so funny.
Must other people see this episode of television?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a very solid example of what a Designing Women episode is from the like half dozen I've seen.
Yeah,
but also any of the ones I've seen have been a very good example.
Yeah, it's a solid show, and like I think going back to the Artur point. Is that it is, because it is such a consistent, like, Linda Bloodworth Thomason, like, it's so her.
It's like Aaron Sorkin level of, like, I'm gonna write every episode. Like, it's so rare for...
But unlike Aaron Sorkin, she actually did it, and he didn't just take credit for the episodes other people wrote.
Right? That is the first episode of Designing Women that we will be covering on this podcast. Probably will not be the last. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to talk about only Designing Women and nothing else that's going on in the world? Because, dear God, we've got to talk about anything else.
That would be great. At Kay Healy Woo on Twitter. Lately a lot of random accounts have been following me on Instagram, which I don't know how I feel about. I don't know why I feel weird about it, but
are they bots?
Some of them are probably bots, but some of them are just like
randos.
How
often do you use hashtags?
I don't, not that much.
Because I like, if you
use joke hashtags, which whenever I do that, I'll get a bunch of random bots, but like.
So, like, because I use a lot of like menswear hashtags for my style posts because I'm thirsty for attention. And that will get you a whole lot of artificial...
Look at this puppy.
That'll get you a whole lot of artificial likes from just, like...
Yes, that's true.
Bots and, like, brand social media workers who will just comment... So I run a Bob Newhart fashion Instagram. This is where I think it's hilarious. And I'm posting pictures of Bob Newhart from the fucking 40 years ago that are obviously screen caps of a man who is in his 40s taken, again, in the 70s. And there'll be people, like, from, you know... Barston and something company, some like, you know, whatever, like brand. Awesome content. Love the look. Yes, please check out. And it's like,
follow back, bro.
Love this. Like, you realize these are TV screen grabs.
You're like, this is okay. I mean, okay. Cool. You don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. So yeah, that might be. But yeah, people can also find you on Instagram, and they should definitely go through and like every photo of your face from the past couple
years. Oh my god,
yes.
If you do that, or like just pick like the pictures of me in sneakers, that would be not creepy at all.
What? Like, see, I have that with my swimsuit photos. That'll happen every now and then. Mm. It's just like someone goes through and it's like, oh, you're like 3 years back. Okay, cool.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't... And
don't do that, you guys. That's so
like,
bad.
The person's like, okay, well, thank you, in a way.
But also, you can just look at them without liking them.
Right, because that's the thing. Is like, they know how Instagram works, and they know that hate hitting the heart means I'm getting a signal. So they're definitely... Yeah. You don't...
If you do that accidentally, you undo it.
Which
and
you
hope
can do,
that they
and it's
don't
so,
notice.
You can do it. They'll never know. It's so quick.
Also,
you do it so quickly.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of people don't realize that when you leave a comment, you can both edit and delete your comments.
Because
a lot of times they're like, I don't know, I can't edit it or I can't delete it. It's like, no, you can delete your comments and you just have to go through to that actual page. You have to click through it and then swipe over and then you get the
swipe
option.
Over discovery on Instagram is everything, guys.
I thought you could for a long time too, but you can.
But even like, I will go through. Like, if I find someone whose style I like, I'll go through to the beginning and look. And I know, like, oh, I like that look, but I'm not going to like it now.
No, you're not going to like
it 5 years later.
No.
That is creepy. Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah.
Be nice, but don't be creepy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Designing Women.
Don't be creeps.
And that does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Katie Healy-Wurzburg, for dropping by and talking about Designing Women with me. Next time, I will be discussing the Sabrina the Teenage Witch episode, Mrs. Kraft. Mrs. Kraft is in Season 3. It is Episode 14. You can stream Sabrina the Teenage Witch on Hulu, Prime Video, and CBS All Access. Until then, I want to hear from you. Tweet to Must Have Seen TV and also follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Tumblr at Must Have Seen TV. If you like what you've heard, rate and review the show in Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. The theme song is Apollo Throwdown by The Go Team. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to all y'all for listening, and I'll see you next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.